You're listening to OWW Radio,
the official radio show of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
All right, all right. All right, all right, so here we are. Living it day by day, you are a superstar. And you said what she used to always say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of OWW Radio. This is the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Each week, OWW Radio will bring perspective to the WWE, TNA, and everything else making news in the world of professional wrestling. This week, we discuss Hell in a Cell, The Big Show, Randy Orton, Christian York, RVD, and much more. My name is David, and I'm joined, as always, by my good friend Alex. How you doing tonight, Alex?
I'm doing great, David. The NBA season started 2 days ago, so now this fall we have pro football, college football, and NBA basketball, and it's my favorite time of the year, and there's Christmas coming up, so awesome.
It is awesome, although I would throw in, I love college basketball, too, and that's starting soon. You know, I'm a big Tar Heel fan, so I'm always looking forward to seeing them play, but the thing that really kind of sucks is hockey is on the shelf right now.
Not, I can't admit that I'm the biggest hockey fan, but yeah, college basketball as well. A plethora of sports for the wives to get very upset about when we watch.
Yeah, that's true. My wife's not real upset that hockey's not playing. I grew up in the Northeast, and I know it's a lot bigger. And you live out in the western part of the United States. Does anybody follow hockey out there at all?
No, I mean, not a lot of people that I talk to follow hockey, but. Yeah, when I lived in Virginia, I remember it being really big. So
yeah, and I guess it's ironic because the Kings won the Stanley Cup out in Los Angeles. But
yeah, but that's like 8 hours south. So
well, we have a lot of great wrestling to discuss today. Should we get started?
Let's ring the bell.
World Wrestling Entertainment. CM Punk retained his WWE title at Hell in a Cell with a controversial victory over Ryback. What did you think of the dusty finish, Alex?
Well, first of all, I hate to do this, David, but actually a dusty finish is more along the lines when the babyface gets the win, gets the title, and then gets it reversed on some kind of technicality. The most famous dusty finish being the 1987 Starrcade in Chicago, Road Warriors against Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson, where I believe Arn Anderson was thrown over the top rope by Hawk, but the Road Warriors got the visible pin, got the belt, got it stripped because they threw Arn Anderson over the top. A lot of discussion going into Hell in a Cell was about this finish. A lot of people really wanted to ride back to win the title. And I thought the way they did it was fine. I thought Ryback looked strong at the end of the day. You know, we'll find out later what Ryback may have lost from losing this match. But in my opinion, I don't really think he's lost much. And as a longtime superstar, I really don't see it, David.
Well, I thought this was fine, the way they had CM Punk retain the title. I did not want them to take the title off of Ryback. I mean, it reminded me, Alex, of how wrestling's changed, because you wouldn't even have been put in this situation 15, 20 years ago, when we didn't have as many pay-per-views. But now you have this monthly spike that you have to build towards, and with Cena injured, they had to do something to make this pay-per-view interesting for CM Punk. I think it really worked out well. Punk retains the belt. Ryback's fine. The thing that's a little interesting, I don't know if you noticed this, that the crowd was kind of booing Ryback Monday, though, when he was announced as Mick Foley's team leader, I guess you'd say, at Survivor Series, because people wanted Mick Foley to actually wrestle. Did that screw up the Ryback character even more than Hell in a Cell?
I don't think so. I mean, they're obviously going to continue with this Ryback thing going into Survivor Series, and I think Survivor Series with the format of being non-title team format, I mean, that would give an awesome opportunity to give Ryback some kind of momentum going into the next season of World Wrestling Entertainment, being Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Big Show beating Sheamus for the title was very interesting, because what happens if they build toward a Ryback-Big Show match? Mm-hmm. We've not heard Big Show any opponents at WrestleMania yet. Obviously, we haven't heard any opponents for Ryback yet. Wouldn't that kind of be an interesting matchup, David, Ryback and the Big Show?
Yeah, I like it. I like it. But it's funny you mentioned WrestleMania season, and this is the second year in a row now, because we know The Rock is going to be involved, and that color is kind of the main event of Hell in a Cell, because you're thinking, well, if they give the title to Ryback, I guess CM Punk's got to win it back before Royal Rumble, because it's almost in stone that Punk and The Rock will headline the Royal Rumble.
What's interesting is that World Wrestling Entertainment released a study today during their financial meeting, and they announced that over 152 million fans in the United States are fans of professional wrestling. which I think is a largely inflated number. But how many percentage of fans do you honestly know that Punk and Rock are scheduled to headline WrestleMania? I don't think that many people of the overall fan base know that.
You don't think Twitter runs the world?
You know, if it did, it would be a scary world.
Also at Hell in the Cell, Big Show defeated Sheamus to win the World Heavyweight Championship. As you mentioned, Alex, in our previous segment, Big Show, now the heavyweight champion, was this the right time to take the title off Sheamus?
You know, Sheamus had sneaky been a champion for a long time. He's been champion since April. You know what? It was fine. It was, you know, they had a little, the feud building up this match was terrible, but apparently the match at the pay-per-view was a good match. And Big Show's coming off a long layoff. He's fresh. The champion. There was really no one else for Sheamus to wrestle. Oh, you put all this in a pot, David, stirred up, and I think it results in it being fine time to take the belt off Sheamus. It's something interesting.
Yeah, and from what I heard and read, that the match was fine. I actually did not get a chance to see this pay-per-view, but I heard that the match itself, especially the ending, was okay, and I have no problem with him taking the belt off Sheamus. It's interesting, right? He has been champion since April, but overshadowed because they've done this countdown with CM Punk. You know, they really made an effort to talk about his length of championship reign. I have to be honest, though. I think this, for me, should be the last run for Big Show with the title. I say this all the time. I really respect him, and he's been a really good performer, in my opinion, a surefire Hall of Famer. But I don't need him with the title anymore. And I think his role now at the company should be putting other people over. So, all right, he's got the championship now. But I think it was better on Sheamus leading into WrestleMania season where they can use him in an important match at WrestleMania 29. Do you think by the time April comes around, Sheamus will still be in one of the main matches?
I do believe so, and I mean, this WrestleMania, David, last year's WrestleMania, I'm not sure if you're aware, was actually the biggest pay-per-view that World Wrestling Entertainment has ever put on.
Mm-hmm.
By some metrics, by any metric, it's the biggest show they've ever promoted. And the way this WrestleMania is leading into Rock not Austin, but CM Punk and John Cena, I think this show will eclipse last year's. Sheamus will be involved in a big match, but, you know, with this year's WrestleMania being as stacked as it is, will it be big in the grand scheme of things? No. But I definitely think Sheamus will get on the card somewhere.
Well, it's funny you talk about WrestleMania 29 coming up, and there's, you know, you read a lot online about what people think the card will be, and, you know, certainly we're going to try to squeeze The Undertaker in if he's healthy enough, and Brock Lesnar may be involved, and now the rumors it's Stone Cold and CM Punk, which would be a fantastic match, especially on WrestleMania. But, you know, what about Ryback? And they've done a nice job with him, and they've done a nice job with Sheamus. And it's taken a few years now, but I really, really like Sheamus in one of those main event spots. So I hope that they piece this card together right, because it looks like they're moving their chess pieces in the right direction. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, we remember Sheamus from his first WrestleMania match against Triple H, and he's certainly come a long, long way. He's expected to carry the SmackDown brand on most weeks, and I think he does a good job doing it. Definitely a talent that's really come into his own these past few years.
I read recently that Randy Orton may be given another run with the World Heavyweight Championship. Do you still enjoy watching the Viper?
It's interesting you ask that question, because as far as watching him, if I watch him just wrestle, David, some of the stuff he does, some of the little things that he does, how he gets the most out of everything, he's one of my favorite wrestlers to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes for him to deliver in a big match, more often than not, he doesn't. More often than not, he refuses to leave first gear, as it will. And, you know, that doesn't really, to me, scream world title contender. You know, I want to see a guy work a little bit harder before he gets to that point.
Yeah, I completely agree with you here. And he is really a world-class professional wrestler. I mean, like you said, the little things he does in the ring, he can do all the moves. But I don't find him that interesting, Alex. And he reminds me of Big Show and Rey Mysterio, guys who have been in this company a while, that they really need to be in the right feud for me to carry them. And I don't really like the Alberto Del Rio, Randy Orton feud. Orton recently just killed Wade Barrett on Raw. I don't understand why they buried Wade Barrett so quickly after he's coming back, because I know they want to push Orton, but for me, it's kind of snoozeville. I'm kind of burned out on Randy Orton.
Yeah, when you mention two guys who don't wrestle as well as Randy Orton but give it effort every night, it's Alberto Del Rio and Wade Barrett. I mean, Del Rio in the build-up to the match, I thought Del Rio was awesome. Him
yep.
doing Randy Orton's mannerisms,
yep.
I was really entertained by that. And then Wade Barrett, since coming back, he's developed this new persona. It's kind of interesting. He has a new look to himself. I'm ready to accept him as a top guy. But, yeah, he definitely has to start winning matches and over guys like Randy Orton. You know, you brought up in the last segment you're ready to see Big Show kind of pass the torch. I mean, do we really need to see another world title run out of Randy Orton? I mean, why can't he be the guy that kind of passes the torch here?
Yeah, well, I remember growing up, and I know I break this out at least once a show, but it was a huge deal when you had a championship. I mean, Randy Savage, when he was world champion in 1988, you know, held it for a year. It was a big deal. When he lost it, it was a big deal. Now it's like, oh, Orton's been world champion like 14 times. Cena's had the championship like 11 times. The number of championship reigns of today's superstars wildly out of proportion.
Absolutely, and it's kind of like a metric that you really can't apply
right.
to the older days. I mean, if you look at someone like Ric Flair, he would have held the title 450 times. I mean, you had, but there was a bunch of different devices going on back then. You had the territorial system where Ric Flair was going around to different territories. In WWF, you had guys who legitimately just held the title for a long time, but they were working with a rotating cast of heels that were brought in from different territories. You didn't have stagnation, essentially, is what I'm trying to allude to.
Yeah.
But in, like, today's current product, the same rosters out there every single week.
On TV, that's the problem, right? Because you see them on TV so much.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you get guys with 400 title reigns, and that's just the way the business is today. And it's kind of neat, though, when they do it with what they've done with Sheamus and Punk, where they can get long title reigns out of these guys. TNA Wrestling. TNA is experimenting with having a different announce team during the first hour of Impact. What difference does this do to the show? David, I don't know if you were aware, but last Thursday they had for the first hour, and I believe for the first hour this Thursday as well,
mm-hmm.
they had Tom Kinnerly and Jerry Borash open the show, and they called the first hour. A different team coming in other than the team of TNA and Taz. It's out-of-the-box thinking, but does it do anything for you watching the show, David?
Seems like TNA is always monkeying around, aren't they? I mean, no, it doesn't do much. And here's why, Alex, is to me, the announcers should not be the show. We shouldn't even really know they're there. Now, of course, you know, we talk about Jerry Lawler and Jim Ross and going back in the day, Jesse Ventura, we always treat them as personalities, but they really should be in the background, and their job should be to put the wrestlers front and center. By switching them up, you get a different feel. It's just not for me, but because I think it makes the announcers to front and center.
I like what you said, monkeying around with the show. Yeah, adding and taking away things that really don't matter.
Right.
I mean, this Todd Kinnerly guy, this is some kind of tryout. That's cool. But, yeah, I mean, really, overall, it makes no difference. And you kind of want, when you tune into a show, to hear the same trusted voices every week. And, you know, let these guys call. I don't know. I mean, I can't even really think of a good example when you would need to interchange
no.
your announce team.
I can't either. Although I have to say also, I'm not a big Mike Tenay fan. And he does a fine job. I know we all have our favorites. He's never been a favorite of mine. If they wanted to replace him permanently, that's fine with me. But in general, I think this is strange. Isn't it funny how WWE puts the Spanish announcers there? Almost, Alex, like that's the only other language this is broadcast in?
Yeah, actually, that is pretty funny. And actually, that is pretty funny because, I mean, they also, on the other hand, talk about how many different countries this show is syndicated in.
Right.
So, but TNA does the same exact thing. And what's actually funny is I know the guy who does the French commentary for him in France for TNA. So, anyways, this ultimately isn't going to make a difference. And Mike Tenay, being on top of his game, there was a few years in the Observer Awards where he won Best Announcer, and I always felt like Tenay was best when he was part of a three-man booth
yeah.
with two solid commentators, and Tenay could add the extra nerdy info, kind of like what I throw in on this show about how Rey Mysterio won this title in Mexico or whatever. Tenay added a bit of legitimacy to Tony Schiavone and Bobby Heenan
mm-hmm.
or whatever announce crew he was with. He and Taz really, they're not the best combination together, but they're a lot better than what TNA's had up until this point.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you, but I just think switching out the announcers, again, monkeying around and trying to find the right formula. Alex, to me, the right formula is you build stars, you put them in good storylines. That all works out, whether it's a two-hour Raw or a three-hour Raw or Impact's live or it's not live. The bottom line is if you put good wrestling and good storylines together, people are going to watch.
I think I can't say better than that. Christian York took the gut check challenge tonight, and honestly, I think it should be his opponent, Zema Ion, going for the evaluation next week instead of Christian York. Christian, of all the people I've seen do the gut check, was by far the best, which is to be expected because Christian, of course, some may remember him from the dying days of ECW as a tag team with Joey Matthews, who later became one half of Eminem.
Yep.
And they actually pointed out on the commentary tonight that Christian York actually wrestled on the first ever TNA pay-per-view back when they were doing weekly pay-per-views and actually when they were doing them in Alabama. So Christian's been around for a long, long time. If you live in the Virginia, Maryland area, you may see him on independent shows every once in a while. Christian looked incredible tonight. David, I don't know if you had an opportunity to see it, but in my opinion, this is the type of guys they need to be bringing in the gut check. Guys who you know are ready, not the guys that I've never heard of that don't end up being ready.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I like the fact he is local. He's from Fairfax, Virginia, not too far from where I live. And I like the fact that he's wrestled at MCW. I try to take my son up there every now and again to catch the MCW shows. So I like his background, and I kind of like his look. I didn't get to see the match. I'm going to check it out after we're done recording here. Let me ask you a serious question, though, a little off the record. Are these gut check challenges legit? I mean, you know, they're going, you know, getting the results from the judges. You know, I mean, do you feel like it's all predetermined anyway? And regardless how he looked in the match, they know whether they're going to move forward with him?
From what I understand from reading the Wrestling Observer from Dave Meltzer reporting, he reports that it's 100% legitimate other than the Joey Ryan one, which obviously was an angle from the beginning.
Yeah.
But the other ones have been 100% legitimate. But the Christian York one, I mean, a lot of the guys, David, that they bring in, I mean, as a non-talent evaluator, I do not have the credentials of Bruce Pritchard or Taz or Al Snow. But, I mean, I can tell that most of these guys are not ready for TNA wrestling, a weekly wrestling show that's syndicated in over, you know, how many other countries. But Christian York, honestly, he looked better in the ring than Zema Ion.
Mm-hmm.
He looked very, very solid. Zema looked, I can't, you know, I've never been the biggest fan of Zema Ion, but he looked off tonight, and Christian York looked awesome. And I'm actually excited to see what he's going to do in the future of this company.
We talk about the background of Christian York, and he's worked the indies, of course, and especially, like I said, here in the Maryland, Virginia area. It's amazing once you add the television camera, or, you know, in the case of TNA and W, you know, cameras, and you really zoom in and how tight they have to be with their professional wrestling skills. When I did go to a recent independent show, no disrespect to the guys in the ring, but Alex, there is a mile difference sometimes between the people we see on television every week and the people performing at these shows, not just physically. I mean, certainly they don't have the physiques, whatever, and maybe not the personalities, but just the crispness of their moves. So it sounds like you felt like Christian York tonight with the spotlights on performed pretty well.
Opportunity isn't an opportunity if you're not ready to take advantage of it. I mean, they could give these opportunities to 2- and 3-month wrestling students, but they give them to guys who they believe are ready.
Yeah.
And Christian was given the opportunity and hit a home run. I was happy to see it. And I don't know if this guy's a future world champion, but I definitely think he's going to bring something new to TNA. Rob Van Dam beat Zema Ion for the X Division title. Rob Van Dam, I think of all the companies, has to be one of the oldest title holders currently there is. I'm not sure what the age disparity between he and Big Show is. as X Division champion, Rob Van Dam, is this the direction the company needs to go in, David?
I never liked him. I've never been an RVD fan. I know he's got a great history, and he's been a big player in a lot of promotions. It's just never been someone I've really connected with. I almost have zero feeling about this other than, I guess if I have any feeling about it, it's negative that TNA went back to kind of an older performer here. I guess the X Division, if you're going to give him a title, the X Division Championship's the one I would have put on him. But I've just never been an RVD fan. Am I missing the boat on just the meaning he's had in the history of professional wrestling?
You know what's interesting is that at a conference in 1994, Paul Heyman was there with the biggest tag team in ECW at the time, the Public Enemy. Public Enemy won Tag Team of the Year over some very big tag teams. And Paul Heyman, I believe he said this to Dave Meltzer, or somehow Dave Meltzer got this quote, is Paul Heyman said, it wasn't more of Public Enemy being a great tag team. It was more of my booking and the way I presented them. And I believe that was absolutely the case with Rob Van Dam from 1997 to ECW's closing in 2001. He was an incredible, incredible talent, incredible star. WCW actually signed him right before they went out of business, and it would have been interesting to see how they featured him on his television. But he didn't go that route. He didn't, unfortunately, didn't make it to WCW television. He made it to World Wrestling Entertainment television, where they never saw him as the star level of Austin or Triple H or any of those guys initially. He was put in the ring with Austin initially, but he lost all those matches. Mm-hmm. He was never the same star or wrestler again. He had a brief moment when he beat John Cena for the heavyweight title, I believe in 2005 at One Night Stand, and drug his marijuana and pills with Sabu one night, got the world title taken from him. I believe actually had two world titles at the time, if I believe it correctly. It ended up getting another title win for Edge because Edge beat him that next Monday on Raw. He's kind of overrated, I guess, historically, David, if I could say so.
Well, he has great athleticism, right? We can't take that away from him. Good size, great athleticism. It's a little to me like what we discussed with Randy Orton earlier, in that it just doesn't excite me anymore. And maybe that's the cyclical nature of this business and why it's difficult. Things that work, you know, one day don't necessarily work the next for wrestling fans, and we're all so different. We all have our favorites. He's just never been one of my favorites. I knew we were going to discuss him tonight, and I'm sure he's got a lot of fans out there. So for them, maybe this is a nice moment that he got this belt, but it doesn't move the needle for me.
You know what, David? I mean, I almost want to compare him to like an actor who had a couple of big movies, but overall, when you look at their career, it wasn't very substantial. And I mean, I kind of feel like that about RVD. RVD kind of has a check in all the wickets, multiple-time world champion with different promotions, but I think this is the wrong, I mean, he's on the wrong side of his career to be winning any kind of championship for any kind of national company. And as a talent, I really don't know what he brings to TNA at all. Honestly, most weeks I forget he's even there, David.
Yeah. And before we go on real quick on RVD, I think there's a little disappointment in both of our voices because he had the physical talent and maybe some of the booking, like you were saying, you know, had he gone to WCW at the right time or been treated better in WWE, maybe, you know, maybe his career would be looked upon a bit differently going back, or maybe I'm just looking at it through certain colored lenses because I didn't really like him to begin with, but there seemed like there could have been more there.
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, first in WWF, he was beaten by Austin, so we'll never know what he could have been. He kind of checked out, I feel like, after that. He's had a couple of big moments, but nothing overall.
Wild card topic number one. Dragon Gate USA is running 3 shows this weekend. Big weekend for them. Outside of Ring of Honor, what are your feelings, Alex, on the viability of independent promotions?
That's a broad and varied question. I mean, independent companies in America, you can have a somewhat success, depending on your level of success, for a period of time. I mean, Dragon Gate USA is an innovator, and I would say professional wrestling, because they have really embraced the iPay-per-view model. They own their own iPay-per-view company, which is WWNLive.com, and they produce all their own iPay-per-views. They distribute their own DVDs. They have an in-house company, and they put on these big Dragon Gate shows, which is one of the larger pro wrestling companies in Japan. They bring a lot of the stars over. Now, with all that being said, the shows don't really kind of gain the steam you would expect. These 3 shows this weekend look very good. I mean, if you're a fan of the talent, they look very good. And they're building steam because this week, in April, just like every other wrestling company, they have the big WrestleCon coming up, which all the independent promotions from the Northeast, Chikara, CZW, Dragon Gate USA, they're going to put on a big thing of shows. And if you're going to WrestleCon, it might be in your best interest to purchase these 3 shows this weekend so you get familiar with the talent or familiar with the storylines building into that big show.
Is there an independent promotion, though, that you think could push Ring of Honor and kind of how we view Ring of Honor as maybe, you know, a mid-major almost ready to be a big-time player?
You mean get in their way or overtake them?
Yeah, or be a more significant wrestling promotion.
Potentially, but Ring of Honor has a lot of equity. I mean, if any time you wanted to jump over Ring of Honor, now would be the time. Sinclair has shown their new ownership. Kerry Sulkin was the owner of Ring of Honor. He sold his share to Sinclair Broadcasting. They have shown an unwillingness to push the brand bigger. In fact, they've kind of retracted the brand a little bit to kind of make money. So if any time you wanted to take over Ring of Honor, now would be the time. But unfortunately, I don't know if the climate is quite right for another wrestling company to appear out of the mist. And where are you going to get the talent? I mean, when you're starting a company, you kind of need new talent. And we're familiar with all this talent already because between Dragate USA, PWG, and Ring of Honor, I mean, it's practically the same guys on every show. So,
do you think that these companies, Ring of Honor, et cetera, have gone as far as they can go? And in other words, are they ever really going to threaten WWE or TNA?
You're never going to threaten World Wrestling Entertainment. Yeah. Never. TNA is a very viable option. I mean, literally, TNA was on its deathbed. It was founded by Jerry Jarrett, who had a large amount of money, but was losing money quickly. And then it was bought out by Panda Energy and Dixie Carter's family. Dixie Carter, I believe, was the public relations officer for TNA, saw the company was dying, asked her dad to buy it, blah, 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 blah. Here we are today. So, I mean, if you get a son of a oil tycoon who's into professional wrestling, David, literally tomorrow you can have a big fourth option.
I kind of wish I was the son of an oil tycoon. That'd be a good way to spend the money.
But, David, that's the only reason people start these companies is because they think, hey, I mean, I was told by I know this segment's running long, but I was told by a Southern California wrestler named White Trash Johnny Webb that literally he was outside ticketing at the arena in L.A., and Rob Black, a big porn producer, walked up to him, and that's how XPW got started. And XPW became a big national independent company for a long period of time. I mean, if you run a company, you can run into someone with money, it can blow up. I mean, that's kind of the dream of all these guys. Wild card topic number two. Jake Roberts is doing a reality show, David. And if that doesn't get you excited, he's training and living with Diamond Dallas Page for his big return to the ring, David. Excitement level 10 to 1, where are you at?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm at like a 47. Because you talk about unintentional comedy. Okay, really, I mean, I am excited because, you know, let's face it, I mean, Jake the Snake is a great, great performer, or at least he used to be, and I'd like to see him, first of all, get his life together, and second of all, come back and maybe give us some more moments in the ring. I certainly have my doubts that he can make a transition. In fact, did you read there was a recent story that he showed up at an independent show this past weekend intoxicated? You just hope that's not true. But, we've heard all about this DDP yoga stuff, and, hey, if Jake can get his life together and come back and, you know, give us one more moment, sure. And it should be fascinating television if it's done right.
You know, what's interesting is that I'm a huge fan of Honey Boo Boo, but, you know, and a lot of people call that exploitive and whatever, and I can kind of see where they're coming from. But isn't this kind of exploitive, David? I mean, this whole guy's life has been one miscue after another. You know, he's a known drug addict. He's released DVDs explaining to his long history. This guy, if you hear about him on the independent show, it's because he showed up not sober, doing something ridiculous. David, this is this guy's career, unfortunately, to a large portion of wrestling fans, as being a screw-up.
Well, it's possible, though, that maybe this would motivate him and put the parameters in place that he'd have to kind of shape up a little bit, or it could go completely off the rails.
But, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, the precedence is you can get really screwed up, and then, hey, we'll do a reality show about it, you coming clean. I mean, I would feel almost kind of dirty watching it, David, because how many times have we seen Jake Roberts recover just for him to fall back? And isn't this kind of funding something along the way? You know what, Jake, just disappear and come back sober. I'd be happier than watching you rehabilitate in front of my eyes.
Well, the history of reality shows isn't good here in terms of, you know, like you look at People on The Biggest Loser, they lose all the weight, and apparently, you know, 2 months later after the show's done, they gain it all back. And you know, you wonder, could Jake kind of pull it together for the cameras, but is it really going to make an impact on his life? I don't know. And really, there's just so many reality stars, the Kardashians and, you know, Octomom and all these people, that you do get skeptical that once you put a camera around somebody, it's really, you know, going to bring out the best in them. Is that fair?
Absolutely. I mean, not only that, but I mean, like, I think you got to hit the head on the nail, David.
Hit the nail on the head, you mean?
That too. you see the best of them on the camera. It's about the story. And then when the cameras turn off, yeah, they usually go back to whatever way they were. And I believe it's going to be the same thing with Jake. And, you know, like I said, just disappear, Jake, and come back sober. That'll make me happy.
Yeah. It's like vegetarians telling you that they're vegetarians all the time. Be a vegetarian. You don't have to tell us about it.
Absolutely.
Apologize if you're a vegetarian. Blast from the past. Well, with news that Beth Phoenix is leaving WWE, it is my opinion now that the Divas division is very, very thin on actual wrestling talent. It's been a hard week for me, Alex, but looking back, in your mind, what were the best women's wrestling feuds that you remember?
First one that comes to mind is Lita against Trish. I mean, if you want to stick to American professional wrestling, I mean, obviously in Japan there was Bull Nakano and Aja Kong, and there were some big ones in Japan in the 80s and 90s. But I think if you think about American wrestling, I think the biggest woman's feud is Trish and Lita.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. Although, you know, Trish, I thought with Mickie James, had a great feud as well. I liked Mickie in that role, how they introduced her, and she went on to have a nice career in WWE. You know, it's interesting to me, Alex, is that as much as I love Beth Phoenix, and she'll always be my favorite female wrestler, I don't have a lot of amazing memories from memorable feuds with her. It was more that I loved her character and I liked the way she could wrestle. But, I mean, I guess the feud with Melina had some real good moments, but I didn't feel like they ever really gave her her signature moment, like against Natalya or against Karma, maybe on a big show.
And you know what? When they signed Karma, that was kind of the speculation. It's like, hey, we're going to get the big feud out of Beth Phoenix or Karma.
Yep.
It was kind of like a match made in heaven. And then a couple times with Beth and Natalya teaming up, you figured, hey, you know, these girls team up. They go to an eventual feud. It'll be good stuff. And it never went that way with Beth. Awesome piece of talent, though. Underutilized. It is very sad to see her leave. Yeah, I mean, the women's division is, you have Layla, and you have AJ, Caitlin. And,
Eve is okay.
Yeah, I was about to say, on top of the hill, you have Eve, who's probably the best woman they have.
Well, the one storyline that I really liked the past couple years was the Piggy James storyline, where Lay Cool was just merciless on Mickie James. And the reason I liked it is because so many people were angry about it, thinking that was really kind of hitting below the belt, picking on Mickie's weight. And it was. Maybe we could argue that point. But at least it got people talking, and it felt somewhat real. Because all the other Diva storylines, really, the past couple years have been so vanilla. They've just been, you know, almost... you talk about, you know, people criticizing that division. It's because they haven't come up with really interesting storylines. The one I did want to mention, though, before we move on, was one from my youth where Queen Sherry started managing the Macho King, Randy Savage, and her feud with Miss Elizabeth was interesting, because Miss Elizabeth never really got involved with another woman in storyline. She was always, you know, of course, the heartthrob that the men kind of wrestled over or got infatuated with. So I didn't want to give a kind of a tip of the cap to Queen Sherry. I thought she came in, and when she was with Randy Savage, she did a great job.
I had WrestleMania 6 when she walked out to save Macho King from being beat up by Sherry.
I actually think, real quick, I think that was WrestleMania 7.
Okay, you're right. It was WrestleMania 7. 6 was in Toronto. 7, that moment still grabs me today. Mm-hmm. An incredible all-time moment.
And the only reason I corrected you there, you know, is because that was kind of when I started to phase out of wrestling for a while. That was the last WrestleMania and around that time that I really paid attention to. Glad I got back into it later. But that was a great moment, like you said. Very emotional, and Liz was able to do that. I thought Queen Sherry was a great foil, though.
It took me 10 minutes to correct you on a dusty finish, David, so it's okay.
I do like learning stuff. Before we close the show, I did want to mention about something we talked about earlier. The NBA is back. You and I are pro basketball fans. We enjoy talking about it with each other. And I was interested in who you think is going to end up in the NBA Finals. Alex, to me, it's going to be a shocker if the Miami Heat don't repeat. LeBron James is just in a different world right now.
Absolutely, and another storyline is the underrating of the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah.
How does this team refuse to this? No one wants to talk about this team, but yeah, Miami, woo, they're pretty scary, David.
Actually, and Miami and San Antonio would be a good finals.
And what I was going to say is that Eric Spoelstra, I guess, said that his biggest mistake the first year as a head coach was not letting LeBron James be LeBron James, and now LeBron James wants to be LeBron James. Isn't that like the scariest proposition for every other team in the league?
Yeah, the way he's playing. I did watch the Grizzlies opening game last night. They lost in Los Angeles against the Clippers, but I'm thinking, my God, game one, and it was fantastic. I couldn't turn it off, and the Clippers pulled away late, but I am so glad the NBA is back. Real quick on the James Harden trade, did Oklahoma City make a big mistake?
Yes, I believe that. I've heard both sides of the argument, and then the argument that they made a big mistake resonates a little bit more with me. They were a close team. They were young kids, and they played great together, and there was no reason really to split them up, especially if it was over James Harden wanting that no-trade clause, because if he was going to take a discount, you definitely don't want to be traded because he took a discount.
Yeah. Anything on your mind before we wrap up?
You know, with Alabama's success, and man, if you're watching Alabama's football team, you are in a treat every week. And this weekend they're going to Baton Rouge to play LSU, which will be a huge game.
Mm-hmm.
But Steve Spurrier on a radio show said that he believed that Alabama could possibly beat the Kansas City Chiefs. What a silly discussion, David. We hear it every time we see a great team. No way college kids could beat a pro team on any day. For example, last year the big team was Kentucky. Oh, Kentucky's basketball team could beat a crappy NBA team. No, they can't. No, they can't. Even though Anthony Davis had an incredible debut,
yeah.
No, they can't. And a lot of rookies didn't have incredible debuts. I think Bradley Beal for the Washington Wizards didn't have a great debut. So appreciate college for what it is and appreciate the program for what it is. But these two guys intermixing, it wouldn't be good.
No, and it was all over ESPN today on the radio shows, this comment by Steve Spurrier. And they kept coming back to the same thing, Alex, is the physicality in the trenches, the offensive and defensive lines in the pro game would just absolutely devour a college team. And you may have a receiver, a running back, that's going to make the next level. But the thing about Alabama, too, is I don't think their quarterback is that great. I think he's fine, but I don't think their quarterback is a transcendent talent that, could pick apart an NFL defense right now without NFL weapons. So it's absolutely ridiculous. It's, Spurrier, there's just too many cameras in people's faces, right?
Yeah, 100 million fans in the United States for World Wrestling Entertainment, for wrestling. Ridiculous, David, ridiculous.
We hope that at least 0.001% of them listen to this show.
Absolutely.
And don't forget to check out the OWW website at onlineworldofwrestling.com for the latest news, analysis, and updates in the world of professional wrestling. While you're there, you can also catch up on past episodes of OWW Radio. Email us at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com to submit topics or questions you'd like us to discuss in an upcoming broadcast. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at OWWCOM to get all program updates and announcements. We'll also be posting directly to the official OWW Facebook homepage. Till next time, I am David.
And this is Alex.
We hope you've enjoyed the program, and we'll be back soon with another edition of OWW Radio.
All right, all right. All right, all right, so here we are. Living it day by day, you are a superstar. And yes, that's what you used to always.